Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
You know, I was actually thinking about this last week. Not enough to reach out to anybody to find out, but I was thinking about this. What happened on Stump Rothenberg on Wednesday of last week?
We went team Stump Rothenberg.
Team meaning you and Dan combined. Was Raymond involved?
Yeah, we came as a full unit,
a four pack.
Yep,
a collective.
And
collective, we dominated.
Really?
Yep, we dominated. And then RJ gave Dan the five pack, and it was for you. It was like preschool level five pack.
Really?
Yeah.
And how'd he do?
They were football. Easy football questions.
So you dumbed it down, RJ, is it fair to say? You made it easier for Dan?
For his first, I didn't want to throw the entree at him. Threw an appetizer. And he handled himself well.
Dan's no, that was not an appetizer. That was a bread basket.
Really?
All right, we put the bread out.
Yeah, it was the pickles in the
coleslaw?
Right. And he chomped it up.
Yeah?
Crushed it.
Give me one of the questions you gave him. One of the, where'd he go to college? Let me see what level you're at here.
He's going to laugh at us, RJ.
This is going to be
I promise not
easy.
To laugh. I just want to hear.
No, you're going to make fun of me.
I will not.
But wasn't Clinton Portis one of them or something like that?
No, but Clinton Portis would be a good one. I think he'll know it instantly.
The U.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. It's that level.
It's comparable to Clinton Portis.
All righty, fine. Blaine Gabbert.
Missouri.
Joey Bosa.
Ohio State.
Jalen Ramsey.
Florida State.
A.J. Green.
I always forget if he... I think he's Georgia, right?
Yeah, it is. He had the same reaction.
I always think Alabama or Georgia.
And finally, Leonard Williams.
A USC.
There you go.
All right, so I don't think that's not pathetic.
It's not to your level, though.
Right. It's his first foray into Stump Rothenberg. Yeah.
It's a man that sleeps with his mother-in-law and he dabbles... What? He said it, no?
Oh, my goodness.
This audio of him saying that.
I know.
So why are you coming down on me for that?
I didn't come down on you.
It's just it's unsettling to hear that. To leave the show for a week and come back and hear the guy that fills in for you say I sleep with my mother-in-law it's jarring.
I'm sleeping with my mother-in-law.
I'm sorry, that's jarring.
Right, I get it, but I'm not one to judge.
All you do is judge.
No. No, I'm not judgy at all.
No, not even a little
even
bit.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a
He's
little
bit. He's a hardball.
Yeah, you're a hardball.
Oh, Santi, play Dave the new Omar, please.
Omar called last week?
Omar had a great call.
The best.
How
made
was
the Thursday open.
Over, under 3.5 minutes of a call.
The call itself probably went over at three, but it wasn't. Yeah. Well, anyway, here's the drop.
How are you guys? How are you guys?
You know what he says? He sounds like a villain. Doesn't he?
That was his intro.
Like that's a villain.
We'll go to Omar in Brooklyn. Omar, how's it going?
How are you guys?
That's what he sounds like Lex Luthor. Like that's a villain of a superhero movie. How are you guys?
How are you guys?
You'll never find the bomb I planted somewhere in the city.
How are you guys?
I like that.
Yeah, except his dialogue or monologue would eventually just go into Julius Randle and
yes.
And why the Knicks...
Stop dribbling!
Somehow the Buffalo Bills would get involved.
I'm sure they would.
He's a hardball.
Yeah, you are a hardball.
So Omar made the Thursday open. You missed some stuff.
I missed some stuff.
Oh, the British are coming, the Knicks are coming.
Now, I'm getting tweets that are telling me, in fact, there's more of a story to Dan sleeping with his mother-in-law than I'm being led on to.
I don't know all the details about what actually, how it went down, but yeah.
I think you do.
No.
Rick, tell Dave the whole story before he believes that Dan is actually sleeping with his mother-in-law.
No, I told... All right, I'll come clean because I'm not a bad guy. I told the story about how when I was trying to make my little comeback in Carolina,
yeah,
that Cass, me, and her mom were sharing the king-size bed at the residence.
Just unbelievable.
And that he decided to say what he said, and we caught it, and we've been using it ever since.
Oh, so he, in fact, is not having a tryst with his mother-in-law.
I'm sleeping with my mother-in-law?
When you hear him say it, he could be.
So you slept with your mother-in-law?
In the same bed, yes.
How does that work?
Cass in the middle.
Cass in the middle.
Yeah.
Her mother on the one side, you on the other.
Right.
Now, how about... I shouldn't. I'm not going to answer.
Not say it.
What happens if middle of the night? You're like, oh.
I would get a little handsy.
I mean, how can you get handsy if your mother-in-law's on the other side?
Right. Exactly right. I have to actually get out of the bed. No, that didn't happen. I would say I was sleepwalking. I would blame it on sleepwalking.
Sleepwalking. You really are a treat.
Overnight oats.
Yeah, your overnight oats.
Delicious.
Did you make overnight oats last week?
I made overnight oats last night.
Beautiful. All right. So, Saturday, 6 o'clock, Knicks, Cavs. I did hear on Friday morning, as I was driving Sherry to pre-op early in the morning, I did hear a few minutes of the show. And it sounded to me as if, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe you're reacting off someone else who said this and it's not you. So I want to give you carte blanche to kind of take it how you will right now. Do you guys didn't think that if the Knicks lose this series, the season is a failure, right?
No.
Okay.
No, we were speaking about Stephen A. He had not heard Stephen A. Or Stephen A's been all over the place now talking about it, and he said it would be a failure if Donovan Mitchell knocked him out of the playoffs.
That is a crazy take.
Well, it's because Stephen has kind of elaborated on what I've heard him say before, which is Leon Rose thought the deal was done. Donovan Mitchell had his bags packed, thought the deal was done, wanted to be a Knick, and then Danny Ainge said, we have a better deal from Cleveland. Leon Rose thought he was bluffing, and then now Donovan Mitchell is a Cleveland Cavalier.
Okay, but you can't take that into what you expect to happen in this specific series.
No, I don't think you can either. I mean, the Knicks won 47 games. We went from, before the season started, you asked me, and I said a realistic expectation would be find a way into the play-in tournament.
Right. They're the 5 seed.
And then that turned into, wow, this is actually working. Jalen Brunson is great. Julius Randle is having, you know, a season like we saw 2 years ago. All right, get yourself into the real playoffs. Be a 6 seed. And now we end up in the 5 seed in the one series you would look at and say, okay, this matchup is, you probably won't be favored in it, but it's a legitimate chance to win a first-round matchup.
Yeah, they have a real chance. Again, I think the odds, what did I see? Like Cleveland is minus 185. So Cleveland is, it's not a heavy favorite. Cleveland is certainly favored, as they should be. I mean, they were the 4. They have home court. If all things are equal, they're probably the better team, and they do have star power, right? I mean, I don't think the Knicks have a player, Donovan Mitchell-esque, that's that good. That being said, I wouldn't be stunned if the Knicks were able to win this series.
No, I wouldn't. I think it gets a little bit muddied because you don't know what Julius Randle is going to look like, and I'm sure we'll take plenty of phone calls that, you know, because Obi Toppin's done what he's done the last couple games, that the team's better with Obi Toppin. We don't need Julius Randle, which I think is crazy talk. But I think my final point to Dan, because we talked about this a lot during the week, was for all the reasons why Stephen A. is so upset that they didn't get Donovan Mitchell is exactly why you can't look at the season as a failure if you lose to them. This is the reason why you were hell-bent on getting Donovan Mitchell to win a series like this. You don't have him. Cleveland does. They're the 4 seed. You're the 5 seed.
Right.
They have home court. You don't.
Right.
And it actually feels like, correct me if I'm wrong, 2 years ago when we were the 4 seed, we talked about this at length, is, you know, for all the different circumstances, I don't want to get into all of them, but they play hard every night. You know, maybe not getting every team's best effort, so you sneak up on some teams, and with everything going on, they're the 4 seed, get exposed in the playoffs. That team 2 years ago gets beat up by this team this year. But it actually feels like, unless they get absolutely annihilated in this series, that the team is headed in the right direction. Like, there's still, like, this is just the first step as we continue to get better.
Because
Jalen Brunson's
that.
Here now. Because IQ took a huge step, and Quentin Grimes is taking big steps.
And it feels like that this is now a destination. Like, if you are a player that's unhappy with where you're playing, that the Knicks would be some place that you would be interested in going now, right?
Right. This is a good team, man. And say what you want. Like, I mean, I know Tibbs is the one that gets all the instant criticism, but he's been here for 3 years, and they've been in the playoffs two of the 3 years. I mean, that's it. They won 47 games this year. I mean, that's a damn good season.
They've had a terrific season. But I couldn't tell whether you guys were reacting off of this or you thought this, but I was like, God, if they think that this is a failure of the Knicks, I mean, if you go out there and you get swept or you get, you know, hammered the way you did against Atlanta, maybe you have a different discussion. But if you have a long extended series and you lose in six or seven games, there's nothing failure about this. This is a good step, and I agree with you. And I saw rumblings this weekend. Now, he said no. He tried to put it to rest, but Luka Doncic maybe unhappy in Dallas and wants out of there. I mean, that's I mean, you go crazy to bring a guy like that in here.
Right, Dame in Portland. I mean, that's ultimately what you're probably looking to do to get yourself in that next tier of teams that can compete for a championship. But the emergence of IQ and Grimes and how good Brunson's been, and this the addition of Josh Hart.
He's a terrific player.
Seamlessly. Yeah.
Like, Mitchell Robinson feels like he's kind of taking that next step. Yeah. I mean, the Knicks, they're a nice team. Would you be surprised if they beat Cleveland?
No.
No. I think they can absolutely win that series. I'm not saying they will. I think they could. Let's go to Evan in Queens. Hi, Ev. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, guys. Dave, welcome back.
Thank you.
I hope your wife gets well soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I tore both my ACLs at various points in my life, and they were just the worst. So I wish her the best of luck in her recovery.
Now, the injury was awful, or the recovery from the surgery was awful?
Actually, the recovery wasn't terrible. I was walking pretty quickly. I'd say the injuries were just terrible. So,
she got surgery tomorrow, so hopefully that part of is pretty much done now at this point.
Good, yeah. So the first couple of days will probably be rough, but other than that, she should be fine.
Okay, appreciate the update.
Yeah. All right, so going into this series, I have no interest in watching Julius Randle, ISO, Evan Mobley, even if his ankle is 100%. I think Mobley is one of the few people who can guard Julius without a double team, especially with Jared Allen waiting back there protecting the rim. Jalen Brunson is the key to winning this series. He has consistently outplayed Donovan Mitchell going back to last year when he humbled him in the playoffs and ended his Utah career. I believe Brunson takes this matchup personally. I get the impression he thinks he's better than Mitchell, and I want Brunson's usage to be high in the series and everyone else, including and especially Randle, to play off of Brunson's ability to beat Garland and Mitchell.
You'll get no disagreement here. I mean, I think that Jalen Brunson is the Knicks' most important player.
He is their most important player.
And I trust him with the ball in his hands more than I trust Julius's. We don't know. You can't. Julius Randle has had an amazing season. He's been awesome. But we don't know what he's going to look like when he comes back. I mean, that was a nasty-looking ankle sprain.
Even if he's that same player, I still think your best chance to win the series is, and not that he's not going to have the ball in his hands at times or shoot at times, but I'm not running my entire offense through Julius Randle and thinking that gives me the best chance to win the series.
No, but you have a pretty good, I mean, you've won 47 games, right? So you got a pretty good recipe now of what you're trying to do. And it's been, for the most part, it's been Julius in the first quarter will set the tone. And then late in the games is when Jalen Brunson, when you need a big bucket, will finish the game for you. We'll close the game for you. I just get nervous that if Julius Randle's at 75% but still wants to be...
wants the ball in his hands.
Right.
Yeah. No, that has to terrify everybody. Here's Woj with the latest update on Julius Randle.
There's no clear timeline yet. He's got a reevaluation midweek. But Julius Randle has shown a tremendous capacity in his career to play hurt, to want to play when he's not at 100%. I think certainly the expectation around the Knicks and Julius Randle is he's going to try, and he's going to try to find a way to be on the floor, even if he's not at 100%. I think we'll have a better idea midweek.
I would be surprised, and I don't know anything, and I have no insight into this. I would be surprised if Julius Randle was not on the floor Saturday, 6 o'clock in Cleveland.
I would be shocked.
Yeah.
I would be shocked, especially, I mean, he's out of the boot. As long as there's nothing, you know, structurally wrong where he can do further damage and it's just a pain thing, he's going to
be out there.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I brought, again, Rick, as you know, beautiful, gorgeous, ripened, voluptuous bananas.
That's the expectation, though, now.
Did Dan bring in any fruit for anybody?
None.
Mm-hmm.
None. No, he brought in a, I'm glad you asked that question because this almost submarined the partnership before it even got started. So this animal shows up on Monday. I think it was Monday, first day together.
Okay.
And because it's the morning and he wants to make sure that he has, you know, the proper amount of sustenance to get him through the show, is that him and his wife take a field trip to pick up some snacks that he can eat during the show.
Okay, that seems fair, no?
Right. Smart move.
Right.
So he decides that he's going to go to Dunkin' Donuts because it's going to be, you know, 6 a.m. start, would want some kind of, you know, breakfast food. Maybe I'll get a muffin. So of all the muffins at Dunkin' Donuts, which muffin would you say probably day old is not the best choice for muffins?
Day old?
This is, and he got an end of the day, too. So this is probably what we call 2 days old.
End of the day? I don't think I'd appreciate any day-old muffin. I wouldn't want an old blueberry muffin, certainly.
How about an old corn muffin?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Which he proceeded to try to eat during the
Well, why would he bring in and then announce that these are old muffins?
Well, because I called him on it because he takes a bite of it, and then he almost choked himself out. Because he couldn't swallow it. And I said, what are you eating?
And he told me he was eating two-day-old muffins.
Yeah, but a corn muffin. The driest of the
must
naturally
have been so dry and
driest
awful.
Of muffins, yes.
All right, so but how would that sabotage the partnership in the show? He wasn't making you eat the muffin.
No, but he's eating it. Like, on the list of things not to eat as you're doing a radio show, yeah. I would say a two-day-old...
I would say nuts would be up there.
Right.
And dry muffins would be up there.
Right.
Yes.
So I have to question it. I mean, I have to question is the decision.
I think you should. But by the way, I heard that read you were just doing for NJ Diet. And I thought of you guys, and I actually was going to take my phone out at the pool and take pictures of all the people in swim shirts, the men in swim shirts. And I said, you know what?
Wear a swim shirt.
That would just be creepy. But
what kind of hotels do you stay at?
I have not been to
one hotel where people are wearing swim shirts.
I hugged hard bodies.
Beautiful Marriott. Beautiful Marriott with a lazy river. And I would say not a high percentage. I would say 15% of the men at the hotel in the pool swim shirts.
That's a high percentage.
Yeah,
RJ,
well, yeah.
You go on willy nilly vacations all the time. How many times have you been to a hotel where you've noticed that many people wearing swim shirts?
RJ, you never encounter a swim shirt?
Different questions. Encounter swim shirts, yes. What did you say? 15%?
Yeah, I would say between 10% and 15%. Yeah, I'd say 1 out of every 10, maybe. 1.5 out of every 10 guys was wearing a swim shirt, yes.
Not a single time. That's very high.
Never. Never. Unless it's like
I think these people, they blend in. I don't even think you guys notice that there are people wearing swim shirts.
Unless you're on like a melanoma retreat. You don't see.
You know what? Here's the thing. When you're having your body picked apart at the back area, and I'm not, you'll know why.
It's getting very personal.
Okay, but this would be the time. I mean, it's not that. I mean, it was nice, but it wasn't. We're not middle of the summer in Florida.
It was 87 degrees.
Right, but you could have just. I mean, that many people wearing swim shirts.
There's a lot of swim shirts.
That's a
yes,
lot. That is a lot.
I wore my swim shirt.
Just wear stronger sunscreen.
Why? I mean, you're shedding weight left and right.
Not during the Florida trip. I wasn't.
You're chiseled. Oh,
you were packing the pounds away.
Oh, I was eating. I have a disorder. I have two speeds. Either I'm going to starve myself to death.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or I'm going to eat like I'm you know, take it on the chair later in the week.
Love bacon.
And that's what I did. Bread, you name it. It was terrible. My
lots
eating
of room
habit,
service or no?
What?
Lots of room service?
Not once do we order room service.
Oh, no?
No.
Wow.
No, we're not typically room service people.
Well, I just figured with the bad knee that she maybe would want to just relax a little bit.
No, we were out at Ben's baseball games constantly.
So what was usually on the menu?
Went to a couple of really nice restaurants. A lot of pasta.
Nice.
Some charcuterie plates. Why? Why? How's that funny? Honestly, why is he laughing? RJ, why is he laughing?
It's just funny how you said charcuterie plate.
I mean, we had desserts. See, I have a disorder. We ate very well.
It sounds like a great trip
outside of the fact that I was pushing my wife around in a wheelchair. She was so angry. She wanted me to. I shouldn't. This could be the end of me.
Uh-oh.
She was so angry at, you know who she was angry at? Now, and I know Kay has his number personally. Bob Iger.
Why?
So we show up at the Wide World of Sports, which is where it's this huge. Do you know this Wide World of Sports? Huge facility. They have 30 baseball fields, right? So as you can imagine, if you're at the front gate to get to like field 24 is a journey.
Yes.
I said, can you do me a favor? Can you have a cart? Because they have carts take the umpires all over the place, right? Can she get a cart? She has a torn ACL. Can you please get her a cart? Sorry, we don't provide carts.
Oh.
I was like, what? Sorry, we don't provide carts. I'm like, she has a torn ACL. You're going to make this poor woman walk all the way down there? They made her walk all the way down there.
Did she have a brace on or anything?
She had a brace. Yeah, of course.
Any crutches?
She won't use crutches.
Oh.
Because she's stubborn. So she's like, you should email Bob Iger. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. She's like, bring this on air. I was like, I'm going to get in trouble. But no, I figured why not, right?
Yeah, listen, it would just seem like common courtesy. Like she didn't wear a brace there, not having an injury, just to fool people so she could get driven around.
And I felt so, she's hobbling all the way down, and the umpires are zipping past us. like, hang on. Hey, how you guys doing? Like you couldn't make room for the woman that can't walk. So
right.
I don't know.
That doesn't seem nice.
I give up. Let's go to Mike in Queens. Hi, Mike. Good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, gentlemen. To quote Damon Wayans from Beverly Hills Cop, Rick, take those bananas. listen.
You take those bananas.
During the Donovan Mitchell trade talks, Danny Ainge seems like he wanted us to mortgage a good part of our future for Donovan Mitchell, which means it seems like Cleveland is mortgaging a championship right now. Look how much more valuable the trade pieces that we have now. Look how valuable they are to us now. Look at Quigley, Toppin, and all the other pieces that Danny Ainge wanted. Look at what they are for us now. They're more valuable to us now than they were before. So as far as the future is concerned, even if we wanted to trade, and I'm sure a lot of superstars might want to come here also, because I hear what's called not happy in Dallas.
Luka, yep.
Luka's not happy in Dallas. So look at how much more valuable, look at how attractive the Knicks look now as opposed to before. So I think us not getting Donovan Mitchell might be a blessing in disguise.
I don't know that I see that, but let's see how the whole thing plays out in a couple of years.
I think that's easy to say now. And I think Luka tried yesterday to
diffuse
let people
it.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah, to diffuse the situation. But again, I mean, you put yourself in a spot where, I mean, this could be a desirable place to play, but you got to have a star that doesn't want to be where he's at and, you know, wants to be a New York Knick. I mean, I think that conversation will change a little bit if all of a sudden Donovan Mitchell lights you up in this series.
Yes, this series is very, and people are going to be prisoners of the moment and very right. dependent. You know, Mitchell goes out there and pours him 34 and they win in five games. It'll be, you know, you didn't bring him in. You made such a monumental mistake. And if things go out there and compete and either win the series or force it to a game seven and then land a big time player this offseason or next offseason, then all of a sudden I think people will feel differently. Now, by the way, what a disgrace the Mavericks are. What an absolute disgrace that was over the weekend. The fact that they don't, have an idea of how to appropriately tank. Don't literally scream from the rooftops that you're losing these games on purpose.
No one's dying.
I actually thought it was a smart move by them.
You didn't have a problem with what they did?
How they did it?
Well okay.
A little bit.
That's the difference.
Yeah, how they did it a little bit, but I think it was a smart move.
Well, but you don't have to do it like you did it. You called such attention to it.
Well, especially after, because what was Cuban fined? $600,000?
Yeah, but that means nothing to him.
For doing this before? Yeah, no, of course it doesn't. But business-wise, it makes plenty of sense to do it.
Well, they don't want to lose their pick, and they want to be in the lottery, and I understand why they would do it. But, I mean, at least make it look like you're trying to win games. Don't just all of a sudden, none of these guys are going to be able to play.
But the risk you run in doing that is that guys don't want to lose. I mean, you're not going to go in the locker room and tell the guys, you heard how Jason Kidd reacted to it. Hey, listen, everyone's going to play, but don't try to win. Guys go out and play, they're going to try to win. They get too much pride to go out there and just lay down.
And they had an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the whole thing is, I mean,
it's terrible.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not a great look, but I mean, it made sense to do it.
I thought the whole point of this play-in tournament was to eliminate this.
Well, obviously not.
Clearly not.
Well, but this is not a team that, I mean, this is not a team that's just happy with making it to, you know, a one round of the playoffs. They were in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I think they were 6-15 since they acquired Kyrie Irving, which was an absolute disaster.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
You know what, Santiago? You're nasty. And I missed you, and I was telling my wife as we were...
Wait a minute.
On the lazy river, swimming around. Because you played that he's the Barney Rubble of the show, the Ed McMahon. Everybody needs a sidekick. You played it right there so I could hear it.
Now,
I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, do you understand? I don't schedule these things.
Exactly.
It was in the system already. But if you had any ounce of forethought and thought about the health and sanity of the show, you would have seen that was there, taken it out, trashed it, and not played it there to keep me in a good mood.
I don't have that kind of authority here.
Oh, please.
I don't know what kind of power you think
please.
I have.
Please.
At the Garden, he does. At the Garden, he does. Not here. At the Garden,
definitely not at the Garden, either. I have less power at the Garden than I do here. And here's not a lot.
Please, you could have trashed that. You know how I feel about that. It's the most disrespectful thing we have on the station.
No, it's not. I don't even think. I think Allen's might be worse. I think yours is actually kind of nice compared to
Allen's. It's not nice. It's like you're a number two. You're a guy that if we have a number one, yeah, you can maybe be a Julius Randle.
No.
Maybe.
Stop
maybe.
It, no.
Maybe we can find a way for you to be a Julius Randle.
RJ, what does Maverick always say now? Even with Goose gone, what does he always say when he's in a tight spot?
Talk to me, Goose.
Talk to me, Goose.
Talk to me, Goose.
That's us with you last week. Right. Talk to us, Dave.
Text me back, Dave, please.
I texted you when I was on vacation immediately.
Yeah, false information. Ben hit a bomb.
A bomb!
Lazy fly ball to left field.
Wasn't lazy. There's nothing lazy about the fly ball. It was hit right on the button.
Rick was just trying to keep you informed about the Mets, and you had a very nasty response to that.
Very nasty.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean? What do I mean?
I don't remember what I said.
I'll tell you exactly what I have it say, what you said.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah?
Yeah, trying to be nice. Good guy. You asked me about Senga.
I reached out to you and asked you about Senga.
Yeah, you asked me about Senga. You don't remember that?
No.
What?
Are you going to continue with the story? Do you have something to tell me that I was nasty?
I said, how's Ben doing? You said, you explain whatever you're going to say. And then you said, did Senga look good? And I said, yeah, a little nervous at first, whatever. And then you said, nice, good start to the season. And then I thought on Monday I'd be nice. I said, by the way, the Mets are getting bleep kicked right now. If you're wondering, you go, I'm following. I'm not dead.
I don't see how that's nasty at all. Okay. I have a mini-me that's to my side every second who watches the games streaming on SNY wherever we go. And not only does he stream them, he tells everybody that's near us exactly what's happening in the game at every moment.
It's mini-Dave.
It's exactly what he does.
I don't view that text as any condescending and assuming that you're not watching it anyway. He wants your reaction. That's all.
Right. My reaction was...
This is what a friend does. And your reaction was, I'm not dead.
And I wasn't dead.
We assume things are tight now. Yeah, I mean, your time is being spent in different areas. You're making sandwiches.
I got to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I got to make cheese sandwiches. I got to get stuff going.
Cheese sandwiches, very time consuming.
Are you allowed to bring peanut butter to school, though? I thought that was illegal.
No, you can.
That's a problem these
days. You can bring peanut butter to school.
My kids can't bring peanut butter to school.
What kind of school do your kids go to that you can't bring peanut butter?
Do you know how many kids are allergic to peanut butter?
I understand that there's a nut allergy, but there's got to be a safety zone in the school where you can ensconce and just gobble up a delicious peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Go to the peanut room, or they
shake. What is it? The smoker's lounge?
Yeah. You knock on the door. It's like, what's the pass? You give a password. You go. You got the
nuts.
You got the creamy nut butter, and then you come right on in.
The password is planters.
Yes. You come on right on in. All right. This is a safe space for you. Go ahead. Take out your sandwich and eat it.
The password is Jiffy. Is it the creamy or the chunky?
It's not Jiffy. It's Jif.
I can never. Skippy or Jif?
It's, yeah. I think we are Skippy.
You're combining them.
I'm a Jif guy.
Yeah. But yes, you can bring peanut butter sandwiches to school.
Wow.
What kind of your kids can't bring peanut butter sandwiches?
No, you can't bring it. Like, even the snacks you bring, like for a birthday party, it's got to be like these special kind of treats.
Well, the snacks I understand because you're sharing it with everybody.
But you could touch somebody if you're eating your peanut butter sandwich, and then the peanut butter gets someplace. The other kid could touch it, I guess.
So you could use it as like a weapon of mass destruction, peanut butter, right?
Freeze!
I will not. I have peanuts all over my hand. Oh God.
Oh, my goodness.
You missed me.
I did miss you a lot.
You certainly did.
I missed you a lot.
Do you want to play that promo again where it's just insulting to me, where I'm the Barney Rubble of the show?
Again, you take it as insulting. It's a compliment.
Yeah,
it's
but not, Fred is nothing without Barney. Nothing.
Please. Fred is terrific. He's got a great outfit. He runs his little feet in the car. He does everything.
He's got Wilma. He's got Wilma. That's what he's got going on.
He's got Wilma. He's got a good, solid, quality job at the quarry. He's got a lot going on.
And he'd still be nothing without Barney.
Right. I stand by it. I don't even think that's the nastiest one. I think Allen's is worse.
Allen's is pretty bad.
How is Allen so nasty?
Disorder. Because Allen's it actually ends with hear Allen say interesting things. It's just odd.
Well, it might be odd.
I know he does.
It's pretty much like Allen interrupts part and then says words. It's pretty much the problem.
But at least then they're like, oh, and by the way, he's clearly the number two on the show and at the station.
No, I think yours is. Not great, but I don't think it's that bad.
Now, this could get ugly.
Once upon a time, Alan Hahn fashioned himself as an athlete.
He goes, let's go. Throws me a perfect pass.
He goes on and on like this.
Like I hate everyone in the building.
But these days, Alan realizes how much like us he really is.
You thought I was done? I was just getting started.
He watches sports and then talks about them. Just like you and your friends. But here's the thing. Oh. Every now and then, when he's not cutting off Bart Scott.
It's been 10 freaking years. You're going to play game one.
Let's say something interesting.
That is not accurate information. You will be wrong every time about that take.
Hear Alan say interesting things. Weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So let's cut to the chase here. What's negative about it? He was a former athlete who had to hang it up because he got hurt. Now he hosts a successful midday show, and he says interesting things. Where's the negativity?
Alan watches sports and talks.
Well, isn't that what we all do?
Well, I just think that yours is it's funny. You have some funny clips of you. I think it's nice.
Okay, I'll take it. I'm not looking for a battle. Raymond,
you want to tussle?
This is your football coach, Channon, who's calling from Panama. Is that accurate?
Yeah, he's on vacation.
All right. He's probably going to yell at me. I don't know what I've done. I'm going to be classy here. Channon in Panama. Good morning. You're on 98.7.
How's it going, fellas?
What's going on, Channon?
Nothing. Just first of all, I wanted to try to get Panama on Ray's map. I didn't know if you guys had it there. So I figured I'd give a call while me and the wife were out here on vacation.
Nice. You having a good time?
Having a great time. It's wonderful. The water's great. The people are great. I'm in such a good mood that I'm not going to bust your chops at all. I was actually going to help you out and tell Rick that usually peanut butter is not allowed in elementary because those kids are more apt to trade their food and not remember that they have a peanut allergy.
Right.
And as the kids get older, they're like, all right, you're not dumb. You know that this peanut will kill you.
That's a great point, Channon. Channon, how many swim shirts you see on vacation? Any yet?
I haven't seen any, and I actually saw a meme that said, this is the year that men have to stop that and just let it all hang out.
Wow. Oh, yeah. No, one guy, Dave. Not
bring,
one.
Bring on your melanoma. Panama. The dermatologist's dream location. Panama.
And I don't really have anything sports to talk about, but I do have a secret mission to this trip.
All right.
Is I'm out here looking for coffee beans because I want to challenge Ray and his family's coffee empire.
Ooh.
I think Raymond's once smuggled beans from Panama.
Yeah.
My first cousin, and he just handed me beans.
I'm coming after you guys, Ray.
I like it.
You know where to find this, Coach.
Shannon, this is a lovely call. I hope you have a great vacation, and I understand it's your birthday celebration, so I hope you have a great birthday, too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You guys have a good one. Hope you guys had a great holiday.
Thank you.
I could see it now, Dave.
Yeah.
Raymond Santiago in Bean Wars.
In Bean Wars.
How about that?
Tonight on TLC.
Right.
Bean Wars.
Bean Wars, starring Raymond Santiago.
You guys are burying the lead here.
What's the lead?
It's the coffee. The coffee's coming to America. That's the lead.
It's Bustelo.
Did you
bring any Bustelo today?
No, it's not Bustelo.
No, he's got the fancy beans now.
What do you mean? You're one up over Bustelo?
No, not at all. The Bustelo is the go-to until further notice. But
yeah, but where's the family beans that were freshly roasted?
Well, they're working.
They're on his cousin's leg.
They're working on getting them here legitimately.
So you admit that your family was smuggling illegal beans into the country?
You can't smuggle beans.
Then why was he taping them to his inner thigh?
That's you guys said he's taping it to his inner thigh.
No, you listen to what you said.
Nobody said that.
You said
literally
it.
Nobody.
You said it on the soundbite.
I said no such thing.
Oh, play me the soundbite, please.
Play the soundbite. My first cousin, and he just handed me beans.
Where do you hear about tape to the inner thigh?
From his leg.
Or to any orifice or any other thing that you guys are insinuating. None. Nothing.
They're rectal beads.
My wife is listening, and she says there are peanut-free tables in the school.
Wow.
So, yes. Times have changed, huh? I got to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I got to make cheese sandwiches. I got to get stuff going. When I was a kid, there was no, this is a peanut-free table.
No, me either. But now, I mean, they used to pass out peanuts in airplanes.
Well, you can't do that anymore. You know, it's an airborne allergy.
Right. Cassie's dad can't even smell. Like, if you go to a baseball game and there's someone two rows in front of us popping peanuts, he gets all twisted.
Really? He doesn't feel well?
No.
So that's your go-to in case things ever go south with him.
I've almost killed him numerous times. Accidentally.
You eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and give him a big hug and kiss.
No, I got him a Nutella bar one time. Like a Nutella gelato bar.
Right.
Not realizing that
what's the matter with you?
I don't know.
But then what's the matter with him? He doesn't look at like a new bar that he's never eaten before to make sure it doesn't have nuts in it.
I think he trusted me. He did say his tongue felt a little swollen at some point.
Doc, what's the matter? Nothing. Nothing. Rick, why would you say that?
It's delicious.
I had an issue with my father-in-law at one point.
What happened?
He used to like to kiss me.
On the lips?
Close.
Wow. Tongue or no?
No tongue. And I finally, I was like, sure, I got it. I'm not. It was at the early stages of me, you know, married to Sherry. And I said, listen, I'm not going to go with this. This is not okay. And finally, one time I said, listen, I like you very much. But I'm not okay with the kissing. And he was very, very offended.
I'm sleeping with my mother-in-law.
He was very offended.
Well, he's a big kisser. I mean, he's an affectionate guy.
Yeah, but you know what? I was not comfortable. I'm sorry. I'm not looking to kiss any man on the lips. I'm not looking to kiss anybody on the lips outside of my wife. And the last person on the list of people I want to kiss on the lips would be my father-in-law.
Maybe I give you a big kiss next time we're alone. I got nice lips. Look at these things.
Okay, let's go to Scott in Jersey. Scott, good morning. You're on 98.7
ESPN. Hey, what's up, boys? How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, so I got a question with this whole tanking thing.
Yeah.
Isn't that like illegal? It's like throwing a game. I mean, we have FanDuel, DraftKings, people are betting on it. What's the difference of that and like throwing a game?
Oh, they're going to get in trouble. They'll get in trouble for this.
Yeah, but trouble where he's going to be fined $600,000 or trouble where they're going to take away that pick?
Well, he should be fined more since it's his multiple
but,
times.
But
doing
okay,
this.
if you fine him $1 million, I mean, the guy's worth $8 billion? Does it matter?
Right. No, it doesn't. But isn't it illegal? I mean, you know, if you're throwing a game, it doesn't matter.
Well,
how
you're not
you
throwing
it.
The game. You're not like it'd be different if they went into the game and you found out that they were purposely trying to lose. Yes, that's a big problem. That I mean that the integrity of the game, especially with all these, with all the gambling involved now, is the most important thing. So if you found that out, yeah, there'd be big trouble. But that's not what it is. It's we're telling you who's playing and who's not playing.
Right. Well, it's the same, but different. Nobody's, and you know, you said before, one of you said, like, even kid said, you know, hey, let's not try, you know, try to play so hard to win this thing. To me, it just
right, but
like
you're not,
be,
but
you know,
but there's no false pretenses of how you're betting. Like, you know, going in that these guys aren't playing, so I'll bet accordingly. If all the guys are that, if all the guys are playing, so you bet, okay, I'll take Dallas because they need to win this game, and then it turns out that Dallas was purposely trying to lose the game. Like, yeah, that would be a humongous problem for the sport.
But they are trying to lose the game.
Yeah, but it doesn't. But in clear sight, though, in plain sight, this is not like something
right,
behind
they're
scenes.
They're telling you right. They're not shaving points. They're not losing right. by a certain amount. Right. There's something fundamentally wrong in what Dallas is doing.
Yes, that's not wrong. But I think, I mean, long term for them, smarter play is to do what they're doing because the Knicks own their pick and they don't want to give it up. It sucks. I don't disagree with you. I'm sure Luka was pissed, and I'm sure you could tell Jason Kidd was pissed, but. I'm sure the conversation to them would have been like, then you should have won some games, man. When they traded for Kyrie, they were what, the 4 seed?
Did I see this accurately? They were 6-15 from when they acquired Kyrie Irving to the end of the season.
They've been awful, yeah.
That's disgusting. Now how do you sign him to a long term deal now?
Unless you load up defensively, man. I mean, we talked about this last week with the whole Luka talking about how much they miss Jalen Brunson, and then Cuban coming out and blaming Jalen's dad.
Right, Rick. Yep.
So. Yeah, it's not a great look for them. I mean, just how they finished the season. I mean, they took a big swing on Kyrie, and it didn't work out.
No, it didn't work out
at all.
And
then Kyrie, of course, doesn't make himself available.
What a surprise. What a surprise. How about this? This is a stat I will read to you. It has nothing to do with sports. I'll read it to you quickly, and then we'll go around the league. The average person in France sleeps just a shade under 9 hours per day.
Wow.
Most in the developed world.
I sleep 9 hours probably combined in 3 days.
That's it. That's not sustainable for you.
No. Oh, I wanted to bring this up, too, because you had mentioned golf earlier in the show. Did you guys see the video of the trees falling at the Masters?
I saw the one tree that, like, the roots and everything came out and crushed onto the ground.
Well, you got to see this video. There's a video where it looks like three trees fall down, and there's this, I think it's a woman.
During play?
I don't know how she did not get crushed by this tree. She, like... Three trees fall, and somehow she lands. She's directly in the middle of all the trees falling. Doesn't get hit with the tree. Well, it's incredible.
Thank God for that.
No kidding.
Because that is scary, scary stuff. All right, let's take a little tour around the league.
It's time to go around the league.
All right, let's go around the league. News which is disheartening to Rick, but news we have to tell the people. Odell Beckham Jr. announced on Instagram yesterday. He's signing with the Ravens. Adam Schefter says it's a one-year deal worth up to $18 million, $15 million fully guaranteed. Deal comes a month after Beckham's camp was considering several options following a free agency workout in Arizona, of which both the Jets and the Giants attended. He was supposed to meet with the Jets today, Rick. Obviously, that will not happen now, and he is playing with the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I was kind of upset. I don't know why I was upset. But I was kind of...
I understand, because you thought you were going to get him.
Right, I thought it was... especially because the visit was all set up, I was like, okay. Because Baltimore had already made him an offer, and he was still going to come see the Jets. And I guess because he was coming to see the Jets, they're like, well, if he goes there, he's not leaving, so let's bump the offer up.
Let's make the... And they probably gave him, we'll give you 15, it can increase to 18, but you have to agree to it now.
And he's the number one option there.
Once you leave the facility, it's gone. Yeah, but what are they going to be?
Dude, you're asking me questions I don't know. I think part of what I did was, like, if I was Odell, where would I go? I don't know what the hell's happening with Lamar. He said he wants to be traded. Does he play under the tag? I don't know. And then on top of that, I mean, I keep talking, you know, me and Aaron Rodgers are buddies. We want to play together. It's New York. We're going to get as many primetime games as anyone else in the league. We got a chance to win a championship. It's only a one-year deal. Play there.
Yeah, obviously he chased the money.
Yeah, which... Good for him, but I don't know. I mean, is it seeing the forest through the trees? Or does he just think, let's get a head start of this? Lamar's going to be there. We'll create the chemistry now. I'll have a great season, and then I'll sign my long-term deal in Baltimore.
No, what I believe is that he knew that he wouldn't get this much money from the Jets, and he went after the money.
We got to talk to Samini, though, because Samini insinuated that they offered a sizable amount.
So what could be a sizable amount for the Jets? $10 million, $12 million?
I'd say somewhere probably between 12 and 14 million.
All right, so if you got 13 million,
I would go to the Jets.
I agree with you.
I would definitely go with the Jets.
But he chose Baltimore, and that's where he's going to play. And I imagine it's going to be with Lamar Jackson, although we'll find that out over the coming weeks. Richie James has agreed to terms with the Chiefs. James caught 57 passes, scored 4 touchdowns last season for the New York Giants. The Chiefs lost 2 of their top wide receivers from last season, Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman, in free agency. They combined to catch 103 passes for 1,230 yards and 9 touchdowns last season. So, obviously, it's Travis Kelce. What are their receivers now? It's Kadarius Toney. It's Richie James. It's Sky Moore. Is that what it looks like now for Kansas City?
It's currently what it looks like at the moment, but are you...
Valdez-Scantling, is he still on the team?
Yes. Are you concerned, though?
No.
No.
No. Richie James will have a very productive season next year for the Chiefs.
Right. Because that's what they do.
They can almost take anybody and make them relevant.
Between Andy Reid and the ability of Patrick Mahomes, yes. I mean, that is, they didn't skip a beat without Tyreek Hill.
And they'll be fine. I mean, they bring in Tony midseason, fine. Sky Moore, fine. Valdez-Scantling, fine. Juju Smith-Schuster, fine. It doesn't matter. As long as they have the good offensive line, which they have, and the elite, and that's what he is, the elite tight end and quarterback, they'll be fine.
They're going to end up in the AFC Championship game if you were betting money, at the very least. Because that's all they've done in the last 5 years.
Bengals, Chiefs, or the field in the AFC right now?
I would take the Bengals or Chiefs.
You would take the Bengals or Chiefs?
Yeah.
Okay. Chiefs, Jets, Jaguars, Super Bowl representative, or the field?
I would take the field.
You would take the field?
I think I would take the field, yeah.
Okay. All right. So not a lot of confidence in your Jets right now.
Oh, I don't have a quarterback yet.
Come on.
Listen, I ain't touching the money until it is signed, sealed, delivered.
Could you imagine what would happen if we were on the air and it turned out that Aaron Rodgers was traded elsewhere?
I would have a live nervous breakdown.
I would honestly say just go. Like, just go get into a hot tub, have some peanut butter sandwiches. Just you go. And I will carry the rest of the show by myself.
I would say I would destroy the studio, but that would take 3 seconds because I would just tip 5 signs over and that would be it.
And that would be the end of that. Speaking of the Chiefs, Carson Palmer, you're familiar with him, right?
Oh, yeah.
He had some strong words for the best quarterback in the league on the Quarterback Room podcast. Here is Carson Palmer.
I think Joe's the best quarterback in the league.
I know Patrick
is phenomenal, but I just think Joe's more consistent. He's more consistent. He's more accountable to run the system and the play that's called and not feel like, well, he didn't win last time and get open for me, so I'm going to do it with my feet. And then before you know it, you're socked for a 4-yard loss because you tried to make 2 or 3 guys miss. Joe is just, talk about not having a weakness. Mentally strong, physically tough, accurate, can throw it far enough, fast enough. Gets the ball out quick, and then he can actually do a lot with his legs. He just rarely shows it.
What are we doing?
Did he say socked?
I didn't hear that.
He gets socked.
What are we doing?
I'm not sure.
How in the world could you take anybody ahead of Patrick Mahomes?
I have no idea. None.
I mean, how do you possibly look yourself in the mirror and say, Joe Burrow better than Patrick Mahomes? All Patrick Mahomes does is win. Look at what he just... If you wanted to say this after last season, where Burrow went into, I don't even know what it is anymore. I still call it Arrowhead, and won
Gia.
That Giha,
I think a G E H A, right?
All right. Well, whatever. Where he goes into Kansas City, wins that game. I guess you could have that conversation. How could you possibly have it now? How?
Well, because you can't. You can't. I don't think you can.
So how could you be taken seriously by saying something like that?
Well, because he's a quarterback.
Well, so what?
And that's his opinion, I guess. Listen, you're asking me, I don't know. For me, it's Patrick Mahomes. I've said that the entire time.
But come on, it's just silly at this point.
Right. Many guys won another Super Bowl. He won another MVP.
If you wanted to come on the air or go on this podcast and say, I consider Burrow to be number 2, you know what? I'm not going to argue that. But to say number 1, it's asinine, to be honest with you.
Right. If you wanted to say it's Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and then everybody else. But you can't tell me that Joe is. I love Joe Burrow.
Everybody loves Joe Burrow.
That Joe Burrow is better than Patrick Mahomes right now.
Being number two, there's nothing wrong with being the second best quarterback in the NFL.
Right, like there's nothing wrong with being Barney Rubble. It's nice.
You know what? Don't. It's not the same.
What? What do you mean?
Because Joe Burrow is Fred Flintstone of his team.
But he's Barney Rubble for the NFL.
He's not Barney Rubble for the NFL.
Because Patrick Mahomes is Fred Flintstone.
Then everybody else is Barney Rubble.
Oh, no. No, because then everyone's just everyone else.
Who does number two work for?
You're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN, WEPN-FM in New York. Titans and Jeffrey Simmons agreed to a four-year, $94 million deal. Simmons posted 7.5 sacks last season despite playing of the last eight games with an injured ankle. Simmons is a two-time second-team All-Pro and was the number 19 pick in the 2019 draft, the same draft that gave us Quinnen Williams for the Jets. Both the Giants and Jets have to look at this deal and say, 4 years, $94 million. Williams is not going to show up for anything, it sounds like, until he gets paid. And at some point, Dexter Lawrence is going to have to get paid, too.
Right. Right. I mean, we got two of the best in the league, and they'll get paid like two of the best in the league.
A lot of money. 4 for 94 is oof.
Right. Jeffrey Simmons is awesome, dude.
He's awesome, but that is you're looking at what, $24 million a year?
Well, that's the importance of that position now.
That's a lot of money, though.
But dude, it's a noticeable difference when Quinnen Williams is not on the field for the Jets.
Quinnen Williams is sensational. Dexter Long, you typically don't have defensive tackles dominate. Those guys can dominate games.
Right. They are game wreckers.
But it's a position that never got that much money. And to see it get that much money and that much credit, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of cash.
Yeah, but I think it just speaks to, it's where the NFL is headed now. I mean, it's importance of position and you get paid like it.
John Rahm, good friends with Cardinals tight end Zach Ertz. And after he won the Masters, he blamed Ertz for how he started the tournament. Quote, Thursday morning when I was getting on the golf cart to get to this putting green 10 minutes before my tee time, I saw a text from a good friend of mine, Zach Ertz. He sent the text, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but he said, the first green looking like a walk in the park or something like that right now, 10 minutes before I four-putted to start the tournament. So thank you, Zach. Don't ever do that again.
Yeah, I think Zach's response was, I said just kind of like, and I don't know what it was exactly, but just relax and play like you play when we play together, not play like me when we play together. Like insinuating that he played like, when you're four putting, that's more how Zach Ertz would play
right
than John would play.
But John Rahm got it done and won
right
handily right in the end.
Yeah, Koepka's wheels kind of fell off. Phil shot 65.
Pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's amazing. But the conditions, dude, like watching Tiger, poor Tiger in that lane before he had
to retire, right?
Well, yeah, he was, it's cold, it's raining, TV doesn't do that course justice with how much, how hilly it is. And he was just, he could barely walk.
You could see, I didn't watch a ton of the golf this weekend, but you could see, because I saw clips of him, walking the course. He looked defeated.
Well, his leg is, his plantar fasciitis now, but his leg, his ankle was like a jigsaw puzzle they had to put back together.
So how much more Tiger Woods are we going to see?
Probably not a lot, but I think this is one of the ones he looks at as, because he just set, he just tied the record. That's 23 straight cuts, so that tied the record. But it's one of the ones, because he's so familiar with the course, that if physically he can get through it, he feels like he has a chance to
right
to compete.
But I wonder, if he was three shots off the lead, he would have fought through, right, this weekend?
Yeah, but I don't even know, dude. He was so banged up, man. He could barely move.
Yeah, I feel badly for him. And I stumbled upon this. The great Lewis Riddick has his 2023 NFL draft favorite prospects and sleepers. You want to hear some of them?
Oh, yeah.
Favorite prospects, quarterback C.J. Stroud from Ohio State. He says, in my opinion, Stroud is the gem of the quarterback class. 6'3", 214, one of the most accurate passers in college football over the past two seasons. A lot of people say we saw the ability create outside the pocket only one game last season. But I think we'll see regularly at the next level. Do not underestimate what Stroud can do here. For the running back spot, Jahmyr Gibbs, running back from Alabama, says when you find a true three-down running back who can run inside or outside, has the elusiveness to make you miss in the open field and shows the speed to go the distance, you take him and you do it early in the draft. Then there's guys I'm not overly familiar with, offensive lineman Darnell Wright out of Tennessee. The cornerback who I think is going to be a top 10 pick, Christian Gonzalez out of Oregon. The list goes on and on and on. I don't know that it makes sense to run through guys that nobody's really heard of, but that's kind of the gist of the great Lewis Riddick. And did you see this from Rich Cimini over the weekend? I guess
it depends.
I guess he spoke with I forget if it was Sala or Douglas, but whichever one he spoke with said that Breece Hall looks unbelievable and expect him back week one as a starting running back.
Yeah, I expect him back. I mean, listen, everyone's different, but I think Adrian Peterson has ruined it for everybody. I mean, did Saquon Barkley look like himself? He was on the field, but did he look like himself?
No, but the only thing I would say, and I don't know the answer to it, to be honest, was his knee injury worse than Peterson's? Like, Saquon was a devastating injury.
Yeah, they were both ACLs. But everyone's different, man. I hope, fingers crossed.
No, I know
he's the same
what you
guy.
Want.
Like, week one, he looks like, you know, what we saw before he got hurt, but that is, I don't think, a fair expectation.
No, I think you have to have another plan in place, and then if he's able to go and give you that production, then that's even better for you.
Right. But listen, I mean, he was awesome. He was a game changer for
special.
Us before he got
I mean, he would have been your offensive rookie of the year if it wasn't for the injury.
That's how good that draft was.
It was one of the great drafts we've seen, really. And there you have it. That's around the league. I thought that was nice.
That was nice. I mean, you step right back in and you're a pro's pro. You didn't miss a beat.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.